morning, everybody. Welcome into the Early Bird Fantasy Show. It's Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, coming to you live here on a Friday morning. Good news, everybody. Our co-host of this fine program is finally set. She'll explain that to you, that being Andrea. She'll be in here in a second. Spoke with her earlier. She's ready to get the show up and ready to go. And we'll cover a lot of that stuff with her being absent and everything else here in a moment when she calls in. Welcome into the show. I am Sonny Clark. I am the host of the Couch Potato Sports Show. Make sure you head on over there on definitely Saturday and Sunday when we have our college pregame, as well as our NFL roundtable on Sunday morning, where we cover all the games and all the big games in college and football. And sometimes during the week, depending on how busy we'll be, is when we'll be. Coffee in the chat room. Welcome. Good morning, my friend. Andrea will be joining us finally. We've been on a hiatus because of what happened with the hurricane over in New York and the fact that kind of displacement there for our co-host. So, anyway, you know, yes, both Cy Young. Here we go. It's already rolling right in here. Both Cy Youngs were going back to Ryan Braun getting screwed. Well, hey, some people would think that maybe a young man down in Texas by the name of Adrian Beltre was screwed. Maybe that was the thing. I mean, we can maybe go that route. I don't know. Because depending on what you think or whatever you think, you know, who was better and who's not, that was always going to be the big question. Let's go ahead and bring in our co-host. Finally, she is alive. She is well. She is Andrea. Good morning, my friend.
You know, I am your friend, and I'm a long-lost friend living in a hotel for God, what seems like forever, but nobody can really feel that bad for me because, I mean, how bad can you feel for somebody that's kicking in a hotel for 3 weeks?
Well, you know, it just depends if you like hotels. I mean, I'm not a fan of them. I mean, if you got to go, you got to go. I mean, traveling and doing what you got to do, but I would prefer to be in a home, I guess, or an apartment probably, more so than a one-room kind of thing going on. You know, I'm not claustrophobic because really, if I had my choice, I'd never leave my house. But then again, my house is, you know, a little bit bigger. But in a one bedroom as big as maybe my office, I would probably go a little bit nuts.
Well, you do. And what I love about it is, like, I'll probably never look at a hotel room the same again after the hurricane because, I mean, I love the rest. I love the room service. I love my bed being made every day. I love, you know, somebody coming and cleaning my room. You know, I love the whole relaxation of it is great. But
Really, were you relaxing, though?
Yeah, because I wasn't really, you know, in the same position as most of the people here on the East Coast were in the hotels. Like, I mean, most of these people that were around us were, like, devastated. You know, their homes were ruined. And for me, it was, like, my biggest loss was the fact that I missed out on Arizona Fall League and my family reunion in California. But, and the funny thing is that I packed all my winter clothes because I was planning on, for these past 3 weeks, being in Phoenix in California. And I have, I've been wearing freaking open-toe Converse slip-ons. Okay, people look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, okay, man, I don't have any other shoes. Like, my Uggs are packed away, all my tennis shoes, and I just think I'm cool with it. It doesn't bother me. I just put my Red Sox hat on, and then
they understand.
Then they stare at me, and they're like, yeah, okay, you've got red open-toe Converse and a Red Sox hat. Now we get it.
You're a mess already.
So, I have a lot to rant about. First of all, I downloaded some audio this morning, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but I think we should play this Twinkie commercial that should be like when you scan all the way down audio. Do you see it?
I've seen it. I was like, what is that? But because I was looking, let me get the Twinkie. I see it right there.
You have to guess what date, like what era it was, made.
Hold on. Now I got to find it because
it's at the bottom.
It's at the bottom. Twinkie. Well, it's moved up, I think, because it's in the Times. So I saw it this morning when I was rolling through there and going live. I'm like, what? Twinkie? Okay, whatever.
Capital A,
oh, it's
and
under,
then...
It's under A. There we go. A. All right. So very good. So you want me to play this right now?
Yes, please.
All right. Here we go. Take a listen.
Yahoo! It's Twinkie the King. Wow!
Howdy, partners. Come on to Hostess Twinkie Town for some golden sponge cake Twinkies.
Watch out! They're stealing the Hostess Twinkies.
Watch this. Here's your reward.
Thanks. Creamy filling.
Yep, you get a big delight in every bite of Hostess Twinkies.
And of course, Coffee in the chat room says, Twinkies are the most disgusting junk food ever made. I kind of think I know this era because I think I remember seeing this commercial when I was a child.
Yeah, it was in from the 1970s. And,
I was going to say
Coffee's 70s. Right. In a lot of aspects, he's right on this one. Although, I wonder, what in the world are we going to eat if there's a freaking nuclear attack? Because Twinkies are like, besides Twinkies and roaches, like nothing else will survive.
Here's something interesting that you bring this up, and we're not even on sports. This is funny. I went out to the store, and we were having my girls. I have two girls, and it's a sleepover at least every other week here at my house. And I saw some Twinkies on sale. I was like, wow, that's a good deal, because normally they're priced way out the. I'm not paying the price, but they were on sale. You buy two, and you got them for really cheap. I forget what it was. So I buy these silly things, and I bring them home, and they have shrunk. Either I'm fatter, which I am, or they have shrunk because these things are really, really small.
Yeah, they look like little Debbie Lee cakes now. I can't say how long it's been since I've eaten a Twinkie. I don't have anything against a Twinkie. I mean, in fact, if they were sold at ballparks, I'd probably get a hot dog and a Twinkie. I mean, it's all good, but I just can't foresee. And the only reason I bring it up with sports is, like last night, what's his name? The basketball guys. It's Magic Johnson, and then what's the dude with the funny words, way of speaking? Barkley, Charles Barkley.
Oh.
They were eating Twinkies last night, and then this morning it was Mike and Mike. They were doing some Twinkie like trivia and eating stuff, talking about like what your favorite host is. Eating, and it's not just Twinkies. I mean, they have a ton of product out there that it's too weird. I haven't really gone into depth about what's going on financially, but it just seems to me that somebody will be buying out the contract to, like, continue on making Hostess pies. I mean, I love the apple pies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The apple pies are good, and the cherry ones, too. And what is it about the dent on that one side? That's the last bite you want to take on those pies. I don't understand why.
You cannot get generic Hostess pies. I mean,
no,
there's
no.
A lot of things you can go with generic, but Hostess
yes.
pies are not one of them.
Yes.
I don't know. They're not healthy, but... Every once in a while, Hostess pie, lemon, that's delicious sometimes. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
it seems odd, and it's whatever it is, they can't afford to go through a national strike, so all their employees are on strike. Well, it seems to me that this is not the end of Hostess, as we're all thinking that it's going to be today's the end day of Hostess, and everybody's saying goodbye to Twinkies, and I refuse to believe that.
Oh, by the way, did you hear the miscarriage of justice as far as the voting for yesterday? Did you hear about that miscarriage of the miscarriage of justice big time?
Is that Keith Law?
No. I'll tell you what the miscarriage of justice. In the Toys Hall of Fame, Star Wars figures and dominoes were entered, and for the life of me, how they missed Light, Bright, and Simon, I don't know.
What about Etch-A-Sketch? Is that one in there?
Etch-A-Sketch, exactly. No, Etch-A-Sketch is already in, so just to let you know. So.
Light-Bright kind of reminds me of that. I don't know why, but maybe it's because, I don't know, is Legos in it?
Legos are in it. Dominoes and Star Wars figures were in with, get this, the Fisher-Price Corn Popper, Light Bright Clue, Magic 8, the Magic 8 Ball. There's Simon. It was at least in the running. The little girl's tea set and Twister. And I think what happened here is they completely missed Light Bright, and I think they missed Simon because those two suck. I mean, I like Dominoes. I'm not a Star Wars Hall of Fame figure guy. So yeah. But the miscarriage.
I would have voted for the popper, dude. I love the corn popper where you push it and it makes popping noises like popcorn.
Yes. That's it. Yes, how something. And the pogo stick was also in the running as well, and it did not get voted in too. So I think that one missed out. When I was in my skinnier days, I could pogo stick like a I could do a lot of pogo sticking. I was pretty good at it.
Yeah, so. Pogo sticking is a little dangerous, dude, these days.
Hey, man, in the 70s, we used to ride around in the back window. We used to sit in the back window when we had too many people in the car. So from the 70s to 2010, there is a huge difference.
This cannot be a safe toy, dude. The pogo stick.
Oh, God, we were horrible. Anyway, okay. The miscarriage and justice in baseball. Let's go. I kind of wanted to lead it into that as far as some people thought there was a miscarriage of justice. Of course, Coffee and Ryan Braun, his love affair that he has with Ryan Braun, thinks that he should have got it. What do you think about the MVP pick says yesterday? I kind of like one of them. The other one I'm all right with.
Here's the deal, okay? I'm going to have a little rant here because I think it's ridiculous that, you know, this is becoming like some sort of, you know, stats guys against, you know, writers and scouts and team players and all this BS, okay? I find it funny. The biggest thing I find the most annoying is that, like, Keith Law, okay? And I'll say his name because I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, and I got to turn it on to Keith Law on the freaking WEEI and listen to him talking about how embarrassing it is that the baseball writers don't understand the statistics now and the sabermetrics that they're using and the WAR, wins above replacement, which I understand pretty good. And the thing is, this guy's a fantasy guy, okay? And these fantasy sabermetric guys have separated themselves from the people that watch baseball and they scout baseball in a different way, and the Triple Crown has been around for 140 years, and don't get me wrong, I don't give a crap about the Triple Crown. I don't care about whose team made it to the playoffs. I don't care. What I care about, and which is not ever mentioned by Keith Law or any of these number stat guys, okay, is the fact that Miguel Cabrera has done this year in and year out. Adrian Beltre has done this. He's been the most valuable player on his team for several years now, and you can have a fabulous year as a rookie, okay,
doing it hurt.
Sophomore slump sucks, buddy, okay, and that's fine. I don't hold anything against Mike Trout. I'm happy he got rookie of the year. I don't know how he squeezed into that one either because he played last year, but either way, what's the biggest problem? You're embarrassed because Mike Trout didn't get both rookie of the year and MVP. What the hell is this? I mean, let's give Miguel Cabrera some credit. Ryan Braun, Coffee mentions, he's another guy. Year in and year out, he had so much drama and so much publicity against him going into this season, and you know what he did? He shook it off, and he went up to the plate, and he played like a man, and he was a good asset to his club through thick and thin. And Mike Trout hasn't seen the thin yet, okay? He hasn't even seen what it feels like to have some sort of, you know, publicity over your shoulders and the whole freaking country booing you out of the stadium. You know what? You got to give some credit for guys like this. I don't care. It just... Miguel Cabrera deserves it just as much as anybody. Mike Trout, you can argue Adrian Beltre. You can find a statistic for anything you want, okay, in baseball. That's the thing about the Saber guys that they don't get. You can find a statistic to prove anything that you feel necessary to prove your formula. But guess what? Until I see you winning Tout War and until I see you winning $100,000 a year in fantasy with your sabermetric formulas, okay, talk to me then. He knocks the baseball writers about how they're an old group of people and they're so outdated and they don't get it. I think that the numbers guys don't get it sometimes. There's a place for these numbers, trust me. Every bit of information that you can find that's going to help you analyze a player's value is good. But please don't ever forget about the human aspect of baseball and being a team player. This is not football, the same thing with Tim Tebow. They're talking about, I'm going to switch right over to Tebow now, dude. I was watching the Jets game. I don't watch a ton of football, but being cooped up in a hotel room is kind of like I'm stuck, okay?
Right.
So I watched the whole Jets game. I see, and I made
God,
up a song. While I was watching, I made up a song. I'm like, Tim Tebow in, Sanchez in, Tim Tebow in, Sanchez in. Every other play, it was like, wait, who's the quarterback this play? Literally every other play, I was telling Lenny, like, have you ever seen anything like this? Rex Ryan is going to be so canned, dude, over
oh,
there.
Yeah.
Nobody can be a success if they're being pulled in and out of plays all day long. I mean, that was like his defense for Sanchez. Give him a chance. Let him get comfortable, you know. Let him grow into his role. Well, how is he ever going to grow into his role if you pull him in and out every play? That's ridiculous, okay?
Absolutely.
But seriously, Tim Tebow will never be the kind of guy that a football team builds his club around. Or do you ever think that he'll be a successful quarterback in the NFL for the long term? That was a big question on Mike and Mike. And, you know, Herm, the Indianapolis Colts guy?
No, actually, Herm Edwards is a lot of things, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, well, I've always had a good liking
for this
guy.
I'm assuming you're talking about Herm Edwards, right? Is that who you're
yes,
talking
sir.
About?
Yes, the guy, you know, with all the, you know, the pep talks and don't think
you
what you can't
do. You play to win
do.
The game.
You play to win the game. It's one of my favorite things ever. And I really have a lot of respect for the guy that comes out. He talks to all these young football players and talks to them about finances and how, you know, how it is. But this guy better get over himself a little bit here because he's trying to say that there is no possible way that Tim Tebow will ever be a successful quarterback in the NFL. And
I
mean, whether you believe that or not is one thing. But how are you going to say that when you – what? That's like saying that – you know, that just brings a whole other thing. That's like, you know, saying that there's no possible way that, any example that Buster Posey is ever going to come back from his injury because nobody's ever had that injury before, okay? Peyton Manning can't come back from his injury because nobody's ever had it before, so there's no possible way that this guy's going to come back and be the Peyton Manning that he was. He's done, blah, blah, blah. He's an injury risk. Well, you can say what you think, but you can't sit there, Herb Edwards and Mr. Mike, one of the Mikes, saying that it's not possible because it was possible. I watched it happen last year. This guy took a club, a football team, I call it a club, you know, baseball
mm-hmm.
fan, but he
yep.
took a team that was like won 4 games the season before that. It's the same exact team, but they win a ton more. He may not show up till the fourth quarter. He may not have the best looking throw. He may not be the most accurate, but what he does do is he gets the freaking ball down the field and scores touchdowns one way or another. And I just don't think that it's good enough to say that Miguel Cabrera took your team to the playoffs, so he's the MVP, or, you know, Tim Tebow is never going to take his team to a Super Bowl because it's not a one-guy thing. This is not wrestling or boxing. I mean, you need a club.
Well, here's the thing. Here's one thing. I do respect Herm Edwards. And before he even made that statement, here's the problem with Tebow. And this is going to be a problem for his career, okay? It has nothing to do with how good he is. It has nothing to do with what he can do with the football. It's whether or not that he will get a chance to play on a regular basis. And being in New York, he's not going to get that chance. And there's a couple of reasons why he's not going to get that chance up in New York. Number one, at the end of the season and after everything, after all the dust has settled, literally, in New York after this Jets season, Mark Sanchez is going to be the quarterback for this football team next season. So the fact of the matter is that Tim Tebow needs to be on a football team where he will be considered the number one quarterback, will get the time to play, will be able to do something. But that's the problem with Tebow. Tebow is a name. He is not a player, and that's the problem. Until
I disagree.
Until a team grabs up on him, Andrea, and uses him week in, week out, every play, every snap, considers a starter, he will not be able to succeed in the NFL because he's not getting enough reps. And that's
I don't disagree with you. Yep. Nobody could succeed. Nobody that way. Nobody could succeed that way. And I
and
agree with
the,
that point.
And that's the problem. And as time goes by, hold on, Andrea, as time goes by, those talents that a Tim Tebow have, they do diminish. And I know he's young. But here's the thing. There's not a team out there that is willing to, right now, I don't know of any team except a few that would take a shot with this guy as the solid number one receiver. And if he doesn't get that time, he doesn't get the reps, he's not going to be able to create a chemistry such as a Peyton Manning when he was in Indianapolis, such as any Steve Young when he played. He needs the time to be able to get a chemistry built. But if he's going to switch from team to team to team, and I think this is the part that maybe Herm Edwards didn't get an opportunity to state, but unless this guy ends up on a football team that's going to take him seriously as a starting quarterback, he will not be able to do that because, you see, last year...
I think you're misinterpreting, though. This isn't exactly the case, though. I must clarify a little bit for you so that you understand exactly what was said, because what you're saying is absolutely right, but Herm Edwards, straight term, okay, Hermie, whatever, he came right out and said, there is no team in football that is going to accommodate his style because you can't even have a backup quarterback for Tim Tebow because they would have to learn, that quarterback would have to do Tim Tebow style for everybody on the defense. It would be like learning a new game, and I say BS to that, okay, because it's not like, you know, it's not like having a pitcher out there that only has one pitch, okay, or having to learn, you know, to how to play cricket instead of baseball. It's football, and everybody knows their spot. The wide receiver gets a pass, or he gets a carry, or whatever. The running back catches a pass. The tight end runs outfield. The offensive line blocks the guy in front of him. I mean, everybody has a job, and if that job is done, and that quarterback manages to have the camaraderie with his club the way that he did in Denver, and he found a way to get the ball down the field, he doesn't have to be a pretty. He doesn't have to be Peyton Manning or Eli Manning. But I'll tell you what, put him up next to Mark Sanchez, and he looks better any day of the week.
Hold on. We will not debate right now who should be the quarterback of the Jets, because it should be Sanchez, or it should be Tim Tebow, just because of the record. Double up
and
the
that's
record.
Fine.
They win six games this year. So
he wasn't saying,
absolutely,
though.
They need to do exactly what they did in Denver. They have nothing to lose by putting this guy in, except, and here's a huge thing in New York that might help this team, is get the fandom back. Because I'm telling you right now, starting Sanchez right now for the New York Jets is killer for your fan base. And, that's a big stadium up there, costs billions of dollars.
Oh, and it's packed every week, dude. It's packed because people just like to go see football.
Absolutely, but here's the thing, though. The fandom, it's about merchandise. The NFL's a business, okay? You put Tim Tebow as the starting quarterback on this football team, you're going to have it. But here's the thing, and what maybe you don't get about football is that it is. There's a difference between a Peyton Manning and an RG3. There's a difference between a Peyton Manning – hold on, a Peyton Manning and a Tim Tebow. They have to build an offense around a set quarterback. So going from a Tim Tebow to a Peyton Manning-like type of quarterback, being the pocket passer, it is a totally different offense. It's easy to say, well, a running play is a running play, a passing play is a passing play. But there's certain blocks that you would be able to have to put in. There's certain ways that you would roll if you have a Tim Tebow in compared to a drop-back quarterback that you get in the Peyton Manning type of quarterback.
I agree with you 100%. Although, I mean, my last point, I want to make it clear that I do not think that Tim Tebow, this is not because Tim Tebow doesn't have an opportunity on the Jets. This was brought up basically saying that this guy will never be successful in the NFL because of his style of quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback. He doesn't have the talent, and I disagree, only because you got a playbook. If these freaking offense and guys, if these wide receivers and running backs and tight ends can't remember 10 different plays, I watch the Ducks play all the time. They have that. And the Miami Dolphins are known for it, whatever it is. It's called you know,
the Wildcat.
A,
and they got the
okay,
coach
the
up
Wildcat.
There. They got the they have the offensive coach that was down in Miami and Spagnuolo as the offensive coordinators for the Jets. And guess what?
Okay.
It's not working.
It's not working, but it could. And Miami's the perfect example of a quarterback that's coming up. In what's his name? That new young
Ryan
quarterback.
Tannehill.
Okay. Well, they're kind of. This guy is a type of guy that can be a good quarterback. Me and you have discussed it a lot of times. If they're just willing to accept the way that he does his style and they work around him, man. I mean, I don't think that just because you learn the Wildcat doesn't mean you can't walk out the next player in one more quarter and remember how to do it the other way. Come on now. If you can't remember how to do a Wildcat and a normal freaking offensive play, then you shouldn't be getting paid $20 million a year.
I think I get where you're coming from, but as far as I'll put it this way, and I know you're going to totally disagree with me because I've heard you say it before.
Okay.
But when you I would characterize you as a baseball know it, not a know
I'm
it
a
all
fan.
Know it. You know baseball. Okay, and you know the ins and outs of baseball. And as a casual person who looks at baseball will not know the ins and outs, what they should do, when they should do it, why they should do it, as a casual baseball fan, as much as you would. Like, if there's a runner on and the count's one and two, should they bunt and try to move the player, or whatever the case may be. You know the ins and outs of that kind of thing. When a casual observer looks at football, it's the same thing, but if you know the history and you know the type of – and I hate to – I'll respectfully disagree with you. Even if Tim Tebow was on a football team that did dedicate to him, that type of game just does not win football games in the NFL. It's been
– It may not
there's
have.
Only,
but
there's only been a handful of quarterbacks that have been successful at doing what a type of things that a Tim Tebow does. But what happens is that the defensive mind of a game, okay? The reason why the Wildcat was so popular 4 years ago is because no one's seen it. No one knew how
right.
to react to it. Guess
mm-hmm.
what? Now they do. Because why? Because a lot of people will now try to use the Wildcat in certain instances. And guess
mm-hmm.
what? The defenses are ready for a
right.
Wildcat. So the Wildcat was wildly popular 4 years ago, but give defensive coordinators enough time, they'll figure out a way to stop it. That's the reason why the Wildcat is not as successful as it was 4 years ago, because
okay.
they've snuffed it out. But here's the thing. When Rex Ryan would not do what John Fox would have done, okay? Because John Fox is a smart coach compared to Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan is an old-school type of coach, okay? John Fox can change with the times. There are certain coaches that can do it, and Rex Ryan's not one of them. He lives into what he knows that's successful and won't try anything else, and that's a problem in the NFL because it changes so much. And now I know what you're talking about as far as with the change in the Tim Tebow, but successful teams have franchise quarterbacks, and franchise quarterbacks is what builds up football teams. Your Peyton Mannings, Tom Brady's, and Aaron Rodgers. These are quarterbacks, and those are traditional type of quarterbacks that make teams successful. But a fly-by-night type of quarterback is not going to be a long-term solution for any football team in the NFL.
What about and so the point being is that, you know, it's kind of like pitchers. If they only have one good pitch, you know, when a new pitcher comes out, you kind of want him on your team for a day or two because nobody
yes.
knows what he has. And eventually
Absolutely.
They're going to figure it out. Just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean it will never be done. And I also believe that if the offensive line can protect their quarterback, then
mm-hmm.
that makes it a lot easier for the offense to get work done. But the offense of the Jets is so bad in so many ways. Sean Green is the worst freaking
right
running back. They must have the worst offense I've ever seen on a football team in my life.
Absolutely.
Ever. And Rex Ryan, even though I got to give him a lot of credit, he's lost like half of himself. He's about half his size. I'm like, I hope he still has attitude. But this guy has an attitude that is not beneficial right now. Unfortunately, the owner really likes Rex Ryan. But what are you going to do? You got a defensive coordinator as your other offensive play, and Mark Sanchez the same thing. They should have never got him in the first place. And, you know, it's just, it's funny because he has so much more to offer than just mere talent, dude. The guy is a leader.
I'm going to agree with you 100% on Sanchez. Sanchez's downfall was Rex Ryan, and is Rex Ryan. Because
I don't agree. He sucks.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a sucky
because
quarterback.
They don't trust him. Andrea, they don't trust him. And that's obvious. They don't trust him to be the quarterback that he can be, that has the potential.
He can't. He throws like a chick. He's the worst quarterback I've ever. When he throws like a prissy.
I'm not saying this guy's a Peyton Manning, but I'm telling you right now that Sanchez can have that team a little bit better position if he had the opportunity and if they trusted him. The first 2 years when they took him to the playoffs, they were using colored cards on the sideline to call in a play.
Don't forget Revis.
And Revis is down as well. Here's the thing about and John Lynch is there's a couple of quarterbacks in the NFL that make this true. You don't have to be a great quarterback in order to be successful. You just have to be good, okay? And here's the thing. When you look at a Tim Tebow, that type of play is not good. And Sanchez, he's good for what he does. The problem is they don't trust him, and they won't give this guy an opportunity to make audibles at the line, which is unthinkable in the NFL. How can you have a quarterback that cannot do his own audibles? It's ridiculous, and that's one of the problems. Here's another big, big problem with Sanchez. He needs a real offensive coordinator that will let him do what he does without Rex Ryan thinking that he knows how to run an offense when he doesn't. And that part, you're right. This guy's a defensive guy, and they need to let Tony Spagnuolo go in there and do what he does because that guy is successful. The problem is Ryan wants his nose in the middle of it. And I get it.
Well,
I understand.
Well,
he's the
job.
Head coach. Yeah,
it's
he's the
job.
Head coach, and it ultimately falls on his ass, and I get it. But here's the thing. In the NFL, it's a very easy saying. Is watch the damn game. You can look at stats all day long, and we're going to get to that because Coffee wants to talk about it. You can look at the stats all day long, but if you don't watch the game, you're not going to be able to pick up on who's good, why they're good, and everything else. I mean, look at the Patriots. They grab up guys that are not the best guys, but they find guys that fit their scheme, and they work well within a scheme of what they
do. Seattle's a perfect example of what's going on, like how to pick the right guy for the job. I mean, hello, they decided they were going to take their third quarterback, right? They picked him third string, and they threw him in there, and he's working, and they're not going to change it. But
they're not going to change it, and I disagree with the move, but here's the thing. At home, it's hard to beat that football team, and he's a classic example in Seattle. You don't have
no
to
turnovers.
Be a great quarterback. You just got to be good. And let some other aspects of the game take over the game. If you are not going to have a franchise quarterback, okay, you have to have aspects to other parts of the games that are going to be good or great. And if you can combine them to make a good football team, you'll have success, i.e. the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I'm not saying that quarterback, first of all, I'm not necessarily agreeing that he's the right quarterback for that team. I'm not necessarily saying he's a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. And it's
enough.
No, he's not. He's not great. He's horrible. In reality, in the sense of this guy, you cannot rank that quarterback, and I forget his name, but you can't rank that guy within the top 25 quarterbacks in the NFL. You just can't. He's not
I don't know how
good.
You can't. I don't know how you can't rank him.
I know
him.
How you can because they're where you see, as far as success of a football team, Seattle is right now playing in a division that has only one really good football team in it, and that's it. Okay, and they're winning games at home. They have a magnificent defense. They remind me of the Ravens that went and won the Super Bowl with a quarterback who was mediocre at best, and their defense won the Super Bowl for them. That's what I get as far as that guy is concerned. So as far as NFL and as far as players, there's just certain balances that have to be made. If you don't have a franchise quarterback, you better have something else outside of that because – really, in reality, it is all about the quarterback position in the NFL. So you got to be
able
to.
Well, I guess, but you know, you can go to Jay Cutler and you can
it's different
than
baseball because
here.
you get opportunity in baseball. You can throw a guy in. You got 163 games in a season, okay? NFL, you have 16 games. 17
it doesn't
weeks
matter,
to figure
though,
out who's going to be good.
If your quarterback, it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is if he gets sacked every play. It doesn't matter how good your quarterback is if you're throwing to Sean Green.
But here's the thing. If you have a franchise quarterback, you do what you have to do to protect him. And now, all you got to do is look at Peyton Manning up in Denver. They know they got a franchise quarterback up there. So what's the first thing that you have to do if you have a Peyton Manning? You have to protect your quarterback.
Well,
look at Green Bay.
He gets it done. He gets it
exactly.
done, dude.
Exactly. So, but that's it. Now, hey, before we lose time and lose track, Coffee wanted to get back and talk about the trade as far as the Marlins and the Blue Jays. And I've been waiting for your take up on this one. Let's go to that, and we can get back to football. But Coffee really wants to talk about that. So let's roll to that really quick, and we can always get back to football. Thank you.
Please
Russell
do.
Williams.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I mean, what do you think? What do you think about the trade? What do you think about the Marlins? What's that whole situation all about when you look at it? I just wanted to get your take. I've heard all kinds of takes, and I know what I think, but, you know, and it's I don't think it's a popular thinking of what most people think. What's your thinking about it? And I'll chime in on mine. And I lost her. Okay, hopefully we'll get her back. Let's see here. Maybe we can get her back. I'm going to call it. The one thing I forgot to do, as far as the good thing about Blog Talk Radio, is that you can make the telephone calls. You can place the calls and see if they'll answer it. Oh, there she is. Hold on. Don't answer it. Don't answer it, Andre. It's me on the other line. I'll hang up. All right, cancel. There she is. Hi, you're
That's
back.
That's hilarious. So I'm confused. I thought Coffee was going to come on and talk some stats.
Well, no. He wanted to know what you felt about the trade, the Marlins, and the whole situation there, sending, you know, any player with any kind of talent up to the Blue Jays for basically some young players that no one's ever really heard of, and except you. I mean, because you're in depth, but the casual looker on a baseball going, what the hell is going on as far as the Marlins are concerned? What that whole situation is? Some people are calling a salary dump. Some people are saying, hey, they're hit the reset button like you do on an Atari game and try to start all over again. What I mean, that was a huge, huge move a couple of days ago.
Okay, right. Well, you know, my biggest part of this, which, you know, guides my thought on it mostly, is that that park, that brand new park, is paid for by the freaking people. And the people of Miami paid for this park. This is a publicly owned stadium that costs millions and millions of dollars. So when you're talking about a guy that comes out and says, okay, it didn't work, so now we're just going to have a fire sale, and you have no explanation and you don't even take any sort of responsibility for what you've done, it's a little bit annoying. And if I was a Miami citizen, I would be freaking livid at this guy. And because, you know, you're going to make $200 million next year, but what do the fans have? They have nothing. They paid for all this money for this park. Kind of like I know Coffee's from Minnesota, or, you know, he lives around there, and that's another park that's funded by the public, you know. So you expect this team to make decisions not just based on what's best for you at the time or how you're going to shed payroll, but what's best for the people that paid for the stadium. And to sell off all those guys, I thought was a pretty crappy thing to do. From a business perspective, they're going to get some nice young rookies, but they're basically going back, you know, and they had the balls to come out and say, at least we're not Pittsburgh and didn't, you know, at least we haven't lost 80-something games every year for 20 years. But you know what? I got to say, it was kind of offensive, even to me, because Pittsburgh, I have a little partial to Pittsburgh, and I don't think they've let their fans down the way that Miami did. You know, in baseball, in football, if you don't win, you're fired. In baseball, you can gain the love of the public by doing the right thing. And I think that as far as the leadership goes on that, I think that it's ridiculous what the owner did because the people paid for that park.
let me ask you a question then. Looking at what I'm thinking at, as far as, and we got a classic example of it down here in Dallas with Jerry Jones owning the Cowboys, okay? In business, can you really care about what the fans think? I mean, but I guess the difference between Dallas and Miami is because everybody will go to a Dallas Cowboys game, but they probably would be hesitant to go to a Marlin game, so I get that part. But as far as business is concerned, Coffey made an interesting point. I don't know if he necessarily did it on purpose, but – you know, injured players, these guys get hurt, and, you know, you've got so much money vested in these guys, and was it ballsy to say, hey, we made a mistake, we tried to buy a championship, and guess what, it didn't work, never mind that. The manager on this football team, they had a reality series that canceled 4 weeks before, actually 6 weeks before it was supposed to be done. I mean, there were a lot of business aspects made up on this, and I think maybe they looked too much at business and made those decisions.
I don't think they were looking at business at all. I think that it was a selfish move of the owner of that club to get rid of all those players that they invested in. It's a slap in the face to the public. And, yeah, those players, they may get hurt or whatever, but those were the hope for these players. Those were the hope for these fans in the near future. Now they're like, basically now they're Houston. You know, they're starting from ground one with a $2 billion stadium. And these Miami fans, they decided that they wanted that park. They voted on it. They publicly funded it. And now they have a club that sucks. Basically,
based upon what he said he would do, probably, too, right?
You fire everybody. You know what? Look, when you're the Red Sox and you fire everybody, it's one thing. But you've already, you know, Fenway Park's been paid for a million years. I mean, you owe it to the city that paid for this club to not freak around like this. I mean, fine, you have, they did get some young rookies. They got Yunel Escobar, and they got some young guys that are prospects. But, Josh Johnson didn't pitch as well, but, okay, are you going to say that he may never pitch good? You already fired Ozzy, so why don't you go with that? Maybe it was bad management. Maybe it just didn't work down there for that. But don't fire everybody. Heath Bell, they gave away a lot of players.
I don't think so either. And here's the thing, but like I said, you know, Miami's not. I mean, they've won some championships. I mean,
Marlins.
Was it the? Hold on. Oh no, I'm thinking Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's won the championships. Then I'm thinking the wrong ones. One of those two teams in Florida have won a couple of World Series. Was it Tampa Bay?
Right, it's Tampa. So here's the deal. You can say, look, man,
Tampa.
This didn't work out by buying everybody Jose Reyes in the kitchen sink, okay? It didn't work out for us. But don't give them all away. Keep Jose Reyes. He's a good addition to your club. He's worth what you paid for him. Josh Johnson, get rid of him. Throw in Heath Bell if you don't like him, if you have a backup closer. You know, throw in John Buck. Whatever you want to do, you know, make it fair to the other teams, you know, that they're going to actually get a decent deal. But if you want to shed payroll, that's one thing. Dodgers, they're trying to be the Dodgers right now, you know?
It wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Dodgers did almost the same thing. Not the same thing, but, you know, dump payroll for the players that they picked up from Boston and everything else, because those guys just really are not all that great players in the first place. The Marlins do have two World Series, by the way. But here's the thing, and I'm glad, thank you, Coffey, for putting that in there. The Marlins have been known to do this. I mean, they've had a good team, then they dismantle it. I don't know how much of a surprise. This was no surprise to me, because the Marlins have done this before, just not up on the grand scale because of the type of salaries that they had. They're nothing like Seattle. Seattle hasn't won a championship.
Worst trades, though. They've dismantled teams so many times when they've
But they haven't done it after winning a championship, and that's what the Marlins have done. They've won two championships, and after they won them, they not completely dismantled it, but traded and got rid of some key players to the reason why they won those championships.
Well, here's going back to the public, okay, because when they did do that, they won championships, but it's like Tampa Bay. Your stadium's in a part of town that nobody wants to go to. Nobody's coming to your game. You can't afford to keep paying all these players when you're not making any revenue. But when you ask the public to fork over billions of dollars, you're offering them the opportunity to get a decent team, and they gave it that to you, the investment. And it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there should be a public freaking vote about what they want to do with their club. You don't just this guy's going to make $200 million next year because he just took his freaking payroll from like $150 million to $30 million.
And absolutely, and that all goes in his pocket. So if you and that was going to be my point. This is all about greed. This is not about shedding payroll. This is all about greed after making a mistake and they didn't give enough revenue and they were trying to make sure that they remain positive and make money and a lot of it, because after shedding that kind of payroll, and I'm not saying the Marlins will, but they could fill the positions for a hell of a lot less and pocket the money that they pay out there. So basically what they're saying, hey, we finished last. We couldn't do any worse by just bringing in a bunch of scrubs. That's not the way you're right about gaining the public interest back in your ball club.
They got rid of so much, man. They got rid of their whole pitching staff.
I know.
I mean, they got rid of some great pitchers, some young pitchers, some good pitchers. Josh Johnson is just one example of the pitchers that they got rid of. And the club can be built around young guys like Anibal Sanchez and people like that. You know, I mean, these guys, you know, Mike Stanton's over there, and they have a lot of different young people over there going on. They didn't need to just get rid of everybody. It's almost like he said, if your payroll's over $15 million or $12 million, you're history. We're not going to pay for you. But the public's paying for you. So,
yes. What,
you know, you're not the one paying, and it's not like they didn't make any revenue. That stadium was full. Their club is pretty ridiculous, but, you worked with it.
Let's be honest, it was filled because of the names that were on that baseball team, too. And so they're losing out up on the marquee players that they had that brought the people to it. So if they think that stadium is going to be half full next year with a bunch of scrubs, that's not going to happen. It's too beautiful in Miami. People would rather go to the beach. All right, so that's another thing they got to contend with. They got to contend with the weather and people going to the beach. Now, on the other hand, if you look at the Blue Jays, they did – I'm going to tell you right now, that was a perfect move for them, because what they just got done telling their fans is, we're interested in winning some baseball
games.
Right,
we want to be Baltimore, right?
Exactly, Baltimore, exactly. So when the shoe's on the other foot, as far as the Blue Jays are concerned, the Blue Jays are, you know, have to be the winner so far in this offseason on gathering talent for their baseball team. It's going to be good. Those contracts, though, I feel sorry for the players who are going to lose a lot in taxes, but the Blue Jays, hey, they went up and they nabbed it up. It was a good move for the Jays.
The Toronto Blue Jays, the public isn't losing money. They're ecstatic about what's going on.
Absolutely.
The Marlins fans, though, those guys, it's already, all that stuff is already paid for. So, yeah, let's cut some salary. You know, it's like, it kind of makes me nauseous. I feel really bad for the fans. And just everybody that lives down there has paid for this park. And they deserve to see a club that's at least trying to win. Look at the Cubbies, dude. They, you know, this isn't about their club, you know, their stadium not being paid for, but they got Theo in there, and at least they can see some light at the end of the tunnel. When they picked up Jose Reyes and they kept Josh Johnson and they got Heath Bell, they made a statement to their fans that this is what you paid for, and we're going to have these players, and if it doesn't work, we're going to figure out what wasn't working, and we're going to go from there, but we're not just going to fire sale everybody. I mean, come on, you got players now that aren't going to be good for 3 more years.
And that goes back to my point. This really had nothing to do with the fans. This had nothing to do with anything. This was all about the bottom line, and it's about profits. And
Jones, you could do that.
Exactly.
If you're Jerry Jones.
It will be a real interesting season next year when you look at the Marlins and what's going to happen with them. Will they bring players to the ballpark? Now, the question that you also got to ask, what are the Marlins going to do? They shed all that salary. They'd be smart to bring in some players and bring in some names. Will they do it? That's going to be the big question. And they've been known, when they do things like this, to not bring those players in the next year. Do we see that this year?
I don't. I'm sorry, I don't really understand the question.
Well, the Marlins, when they've won their championship, they shed it, and it was all, it's all about money. But we are not done as far as the offseason are concerned, okay? In the past, when the Marlins were successful, when they got rid of the guys after they won the World Series, they didn't make a lot of moves to improve their team after they won the championship. So now, is this going to be different? They didn't win a championship. Do we see a lot of movement from Miami in the offseason to grab up some other players to try to bring people back to the stadium after this bad, bad move?
It doesn't make sense. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to fire Jose Reyes. What other shortstop are you going to get that's any better than Jose Reyes? I mean,
But not better, but I'm just talking about a player, a name that you can say, wow, that at least they're trying to build up on something. Make moves after what they got rid of and try to bring someone in. And maybe not spend as much. Maybe that's great. That is wonderful. Maybe they can save some money. But seeing how they dumped all that salary, they do have some room to spend some money. Do they do it?
Well, they got Echevarria or something. His name is Adelny, but he's a young guy that we saw in Arizona, and he's a good young shortstop coming up. He's going to play shortstop, and I think they're going to put, you know, Escobar at third base, and they got Mike Stanton in the outfield. They need pitching, and then they're talking about they're keeping Nolasco. Why? Because he's cheap? He can't even,
yes.
You know, this guy's like freaking Homer Bailey, okay? He's like, you see goodness. You see it. You know it's there, but it just never,
yes,
ever comes out all the way. You know, it's like,
right,
every time you get me on this, it's, I don't really know what the Yankees or what the Marlins are going to do, but I really think it's a sad deal, dude, what's going on over there.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if you thought they would spend some money and go get some players. And it doesn't, to me, it doesn't seem like they will. I think they'll get some adequate players, but not enough star quality to bring people to the park.
Not for any cheaper than they already have their star quality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jose Reyes was going to get that contract from any team. That was going to happen, okay?
Right.
Jose Reyes was going to be the highest. And Coffee, you can say whatever you want about Reyes. He isn't worth anything. He's always hurt and all that other crap. But let me tell you something. We've argued about this on the show. He's the best shortstop in Major League Baseball. Sorry, he is. You can have that opinion about.
What?
You don't think so?
I it depends on what you think. I mean,
all around.
No, I mean, he's good. He's got a lot of fast speed, but he's been hurt the last few years. And yeah, at one time he stole 70 bases, you know. But that's not going to happen ever again. And he's going to be
He was going to get that contract from anybody, though, right? In
he's
reality,
not even Belpre. Okay.
Well,
he's
no.
Not.
Hey, we're not going to argue about that.
Defensively, he's good, you know, and that's, he is what he is. He's going to get paid that amount of money, you know. But I just think you got rid of Hanley and you brought him in, and now you have a young shortstop who's never even really seen the major leagues, if at all. And you're going to throw him in there, and that's fine. But the fans need to know, and they're looking at their team like, wait a minute, we had hope. Maybe it was Ozzie Guillen. Let's blame it on him. He could take the fall, kind of like that. You know, guy, the head of the CIA, take the fall for something bad that happened, okay? We'll blame it on you and your affair, okay? That's kind of like what Ozzy did, but, you know, after the Ozzy thing is done, you know, it's like, it's weird to me that they would do, you know, like when the Red Sox got rid of all those players, I looked at it like they were making a statement that, you know, this manager is the guy that we're keeping. We're getting rid of the players. If they can't get along with the manager, then that's the way it is. They turned around and got rid of the manager, but that was only because they had John Farrell. You don't just get rid of your manager after you dump all your players. It's the opposite but the same with what's happening in Florida. They get rid of Ozzy, who, by the way, doesn't have any sort of leverage on who they're going to purchase as players, really. I mean, he's got an opinion. That's it. Like, the guy above him decides who they're going to purchase, their contracts, who they're going to get on their team, and Ozzy rolls with what he has. It didn't work out. That doesn't mean it's never going to work out. That doesn't mean Heath Bell sucks, you know? It doesn't mean that, you know, Jose Reyes isn't a good shortstop or he's not worth the amount of money that you're paying. You're basically saying we just don't feel like with the Nationals and, you know, Atlanta and Philly over there in that division, it's like we're just basically saying that we can't contend. So we're getting rid of some money because Mama needs a new pair of shoes.
Absolutely, and I think that's what it was all about. And greed will go a long way, especially in professional sports. Believe me, I see franchises, granted they're on the minor league level, but I see a lot of people with some good intentions, but then I see a lot of people who look at the bottom line and go by the bottom line, and that's what ended up happening here as far as this trade was concerned. That was a bottom line kind of thing, and it was about money. It was about money back in the pocket of the owners, and, you know, I don't know how much money that they make as far as that stadium is concerned. I don't know about all that, but here's what I do know is when you dump as much salary as you did, there's going to be some residual cash in your pocket by doing so.
Can you get up on the stage and get some balls and say why you did it, though? The owner of the team won't even talk to anybody. He won't even talk to anybody. The president of the Miami Marlins gets on 790 AM radio in Miami just either yesterday or the day before, and the answer to this question, what do you say to the people who feel betrayed? In quotes, he says, I think people should feel betrayed by the fact that we're losing so much. I would think they wouldn't want us to stand pat and keep losing. We don't want to be one of those teams that for 20 years doesn't win 81 games or doesn't make the playoffs. Pittsburgh. Okay.
Yeah. It was definitely a cop out answer. There's no question about that. It was a cop out answer.
It doesn't even make sense. You're going to win with what? What are you going to win with? You just gave all your good players away.
Yeah, and the thing is that I you know, if he wants us to believe that, hey, we ended up last in the division, we can do that with a bunch of scrubs and maybe get some players for the future. I call bullcrap on that is exactly because you can look at a lot of teams in Major League Baseball and see the advantage of just one player being an advantage. But really, one player doesn't make a baseball team. It takes three really, really good baseball players, you know, at least one in the pitching and two out in the field, but you need pitching. It's simple. You need to have a good pitching staff in order to be successful in Major League Baseball. Same thing with football. You need a good quarterback to be consistently good in the NFL. It's just, that's the facts of the game.
Here's one good fact for you. Here's one good. This Loria cat that owns the Marlins.
Uh-huh.
The last time they were even in the playoffs, the last time the Marlins made the playoffs was Loria's first season owning the Marlins. So that was 9 years ago, okay? And if you – this guy is just a freaking – what's the dude in New York that just, like, scammed all those people? What's his name? Bernie something. He's a freaking – this guy is a freaking total con artist, corrupt, lying, bad person, dude. All he cares about is getting – I mean, all his own stuff. He –
Absolutely.
I don't know. I just feel bad for the people.
It's a bad thing. And yeah, for the people who were hoping, I mean, imagine all that merchandise that they sold with those names on them as well, too. Now they're kind of...
And he came from Montreal. This guy came from the Expo. Okay, hello. They don't even exist anymore. I don't know
that's a very good point.
He needs a freaking press. I wonder sometimes where these press agents are, like, that, you know,
Madoff.
The people, the public, what are they? They're PR people, public relations, you know, it's a job, and big corporation, big things like this, big people, big teams have it, and you have it. I mean, they write your speeches for you. You don't even have to worry about it, but just to not even have anything to say at all to your people.
Exactly.
Hey, it's BS.
You're right, and that's, you know, public relations. That's we could probably do a show on public relations anyway. So, but well, we just got the warning as far as the time is concerned, and I got a lot of work to do for this Friday. So unfortunately, I can't. I would love to sit and talk, but there's always Monday.
Monday, I'm moving into my new house.
Okay.
I will I will call in and make an appearance for sure. I think it's going to be raining, so anyway,
okay.
I'll call in and we'll work it out, or we'll talk on Facebook and reschedule it or whatever. But it's so nice to be back and talk some sports.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to get in there and talk some sports, and we'll do it again definitely next Friday. We'll try to reschedule Monday's show if it doesn't work out. That sounds good, okay?
Yeah, and if anybody in the Phoenix area wants to send some Filiberto's tacos to me since I missed out big time. Just go ahead and email me, AndreaSoftSan@gmail.com. I really would love some tacos.
Yes, I understand. And those, by the way, are good, and they are the best up there in Arizona. All right, so that's going to do it for us here on Talking Sports Over Coffee, and not coffee in the chat room, but coffee via the Joe. So make sure you join us then next week. Catch me, Sonny Clark, on the Couch Potato Sports Show as we do on campus with Cuervo and the NFL on Sunday. Have a great day to everybody. Bye-bye.